This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You bitch! No idea how bad it gets.
Sally, I think I'll buy the flowers myself.
But you're not a girl, you're a guy. And why would a guy want to marry a guy?
Don't stomp your little lassies and Prada shoes at me, honey.
Snap out of it.
They called us the Pop Kids. Cause we love.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Is butter a curve?
I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for you.
We could have had a good life together. Fucking real good life. But you didn't want it, Ennis. So what we got now is broke right now.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where tonight we are getting our camp on and looking at some of the kitschiest pop starlet crossovers to film. So think Glitter, Burlesque, Crossroads. Gina, it's going to be a camp night.
It's going to be a camp night, which is always a good thing, but one of those films actually did make me vomit a little bit in my mouth when I watched it. So I do apologise to the listeners at home when we have to cover that later.
Oh, look, you know, it needs to be said. Some of these films are really, really bad.
And really bad.
They're good. The things we do for our art, Gina, the sacrifices we make.
Well, Daniel, I know usually you like to take an artistic, academic perspective on some of these films. I don't think we can do that actually tonight.
Well, you know,
because they're so bad, they're good.
Well, that's it. Are they bad or are they so bad that they're good? And this is a big question, right? So one that we couldn't tackle on our own. So we had to call in reinforcements. And if anybody knows Pops, it's the boys from Pop Chops. So we're welcoming tonight Dan and Andy from Pop Chops. Thanks for joining us.
They called us the Pop Kids. Cause we love the Pop Kids.
So welcome. Thank you for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for the intro.
It's early for you guys. You guys are usually on late on a Thursday night.
Definitely. Yeah. We're still normally in bed by this hour, just like preparing for the show.
And Daylight Savings has just thrown that out.
It's just thrown us.
Now, Gina and I have been so looking forward to tonight's program because for us, this was a chance to kind of walk down memory lane. This is nostalgia, true and proper. Mm-hmm. But like revisiting some of these films, I was like, if this is what nostalgia is like, you know, I'm...
You're the youngest here, too, out of us two. So that for me, this was a real walk down memory lane.
But old at heart. So, Dan, Andy, before we dive into some of these films and look at, you know, whether they are just plain bad or whether they're so bad that they're good, tell us a little bit about Pop Chops.
Well, we love pop, if that wasn't obvious. We believe that it's a genre that isn't always given a fair go because a lot of people do kind of just slap the bad label on it. Not looking at you, Gina. although he was looking directly at me.
He was actually slapping my wrist, which is fine.
Yeah. No, but I think something I learned like only a couple of years ago was that not everything has to be like meaningful and not everything has to be like for a purpose. Like, it can just be for fun.
Yeah.
I think that's my approach to pop music.
Exactly. And pop makes you feel something. If it makes you feel happy, you know, sad, whatever it may be, it has a purpose. These movies, I'm not too sure if they all had a purpose or have, like, a place in society, but some of them are very near and dear to my heart, I've got to say. Yeah.
And can I say, the music themselves and some of the music from these soundtracks are things that I would dance to repeatedly on a dance floor, because that's the thing. It's a lot of fun. fun. You are with your friends. You're not trying to cruise anyone when you are dancing to the moves that some of these...
I've been known to cruise to a Britney song. Yeah.
You know, it needs to be said, you know, we've started the bagging early tonight, but not all of these films are complete flops.
No.
So sometimes we will get a pop starlet, a pop diva, who crosses over to film with flair and actually produces something really good. So, for instance... So this is, of course, 9 to 5, Dolly Parton. It's rated as one of the most successful comedies of all time. Mm. And, you know, Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda. Mm. This is a great film.
Dolly Parton's an amazing actress, though.
Mm. She did a great Christmas movie as well, where she took on all these orphans. I think there was like 12 of them.
Steel Magnolias as well. Classic film.
Love Steel Magnolias.
Okay, so what about... It's got the Midas touch, but he touched it too much. So right, this is the debut film for Beyoncé, who is now a well-established actress, even though she hasn't done anything since Epic, which, you know, was voice work.
For me, this is a bit of a stain on Beyoncé's amazing career.
Do you reckon? Really? It's probably the most financially lucrative film that she's done in terms of box office gross.
I don't doubt that. I mean, for me,
Schmuck and a pancake. I mean, come on.
Now I think of Beyoncé as like high art when I think of her music. And so to think then, and to go and be like, oh, she did an Austin Powers film, just seems so weird to me.
No.
Oh, because Obsessed was high art.
Can I give it props though? Beautiful Stranger came from that soundtrack.
Oh, I love that song.
Yes.
One of my amazing favorite Madonna songs ever.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, what about... Don't you carry nothing that might feel low. Don't you go down, down the road. I think this is maybe the third week in a row that we've played a
how
clip
good is
from
that
this.
Song? When you first heard it, you're like...
I know. I'm like, Gina, we have to play this. And it's by the American film... industry. It's in the top 100 film songs of all time.
Wow.
But the film was a flop. Okay, so we're talking about flops. The film was actually a financial flop.
What was this? What was
Tell me
film?
What the film is.
Yeah.
This is The Wiz. So the Michael Jackson.
Diana Ross.
Diana Ross.
Right. Amazing.
That was Diana Ross, right? Yeah. So the pop starlet crossover to film.
Yeah. So we're really good at 90s and above anything less. Yeah.
But I was actually in a production of The Wiz, so I should have known that.
Really?
I was a Twinkie or like a Winky?
I wish you were a Twinkie.
I was one of those things.
I was in my high school production of Wizard of Oz, right?
Right.
And I was the skeleton.
And the I'm skeleton. Now slightly
yeah,
a skeleton.
Who you'll recall from the film, right? So
Do you mean the scarecrow?
No, I mean the skeleton.
Okay, there's a right like, skeleton. Yeah,
that's how important I was. I got a role that wasn't even in the film.
It was just chorus, babe.
No, I was also a munchkin in the chorus, which is a really good look.
Yeah.
Right, so speaking of flops, you know, my high school Wizard of Oz, flop. And, you know, if we're talking about pop starlet film crossovers that fail spectacularly, I think we have to start with A Certain Sacrifice, which is not a really well-known film, but it was Madonna's first film. So you guys just did a show on Madonna.
Yeah.
What's the Madonna lure?
What's the allure?
What's
I love Madonna. Sorry, go. Boys.
You know what? I think Madonna is just like such a perfectionist. She pours herself into everything she does, including this particular movie, but I just don't think she has the skills in the acting realm. Definitely like in making music, even in singing, I think she's pretty strong, but that acting, like, it is bad.
Yeah, right. So this is a film that was made for $20,000. It was made in 1979. So, you know, 1979, $20,000 is worth a lot more than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
It still couldn't make its money back.
Wow.
Even though it was released in 1985, right? So it
took... To give her some credit, she did try and get out of this.
That's right.
She actually did sue for a couple of grand.
She sued the filmmaker. Well, what she did is she tried to acquire the rights to the film for $5,000 from the director.
Yes. So that
so she didn't try too hard. Like she was
for $5,000. No, this is
at the time that was like $5 million. So come on.
And this was before she, you know, really got her acting sort of stuff on.
Right.
Before Desperately Seeking Susan and all that sort of stuff. But there's this gorgeous quote because I think she feels a little hard done by the ad that was placed for this film. And there's a quote from Madonna from back then that says, "There was an ad in the trade saying this director needed a sort of quirky, offbeat girl. And I was just dancing at the time and thought, oh, great, I'm going to be a movie star." And then, of course, she realizes it's about a woman who's got three sex slaves and, you know.
Yes. Yeah, right. So,
But did she mind that? I don't think.
Well, she obviously stayed throughout the whole thing. Yeah, saw exactly. A rough cut and thought, no. Yeah.
So Madonna played the part of Bruna, a Lower East Side resident who lives with three love slaves. One is male, one is female, one is transgender. And she kind of falls in love with this other guy and leaves them, and they kind of sexually attack her. And here's a kind of alert for anyone who's sensitive to hardcore themes. She then gets raped and kind of enlists the help of these three sex slaves to kind of participate in this great satanic, I don't know, ritual with the person who raped her. So it's a really, it's like a far out film.
Very art house.
Cult potential. Yeah. You know?
And it sounds so Madonna to me. Like, I'm not surprised she made that decision to do the film at all.
Well, she was 19 years old. Right, so the film was made for $20,000. Most of the cast were not paid. She got $100, I think, because needed it for rent.
$100, better than a poke in the eye.
Well, you know, we all need to start somewhere. Yeah.
So she wasn't even Madonna when she made this film.
No. She was a dancer, so she wasn't a singer at the time. Right. So she was still just Madonna. And it wasn't until 1985 that we saw her grace our state, well, the screens again, in Vision Quest, which my favourite song, Gambler, is actually from that film. So everyone knows the Crazy For You song, which is Vision Quest's.
Well, Jenny, you know the song.
My era, 1985.
But you know what? If anyone out there, if you're driving home, if you're listening to us at home, message in on 0427JOY949. Tell us who your favourite pop diva to cross over to film is. Points if they failed spectacularly. But you know what? If they did a good job, we want to hear from you too. So message in 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. We are talking spectacular failures of pop diva crossovers to film. You're listening to Outtakes here on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Let's go, girls.
Come on.
I'm going out tonight and I'm feeling all right and I'm gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise, really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout. No confessions, making no confessions, getting a little out of line.
Are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where tonight we're looking at pop diva to film crossovers that fail spectacularly and that are so camp that they're good. We're asking what you think, what your favourite pop diva to film crossover is. And we've had a message, Gina.
We have had a message, which I'm just trying to... Brittany. So Richard from Caulfield says, that early Madonna film sounds too weird. I'll stick with Evita, thanks. Fun show tonight, guys. Now, in Madonna's defense, the second film she actually was in was Desperately Seeking Susan. And in 1985, that was New York Times' top 10 films. So
Gina, we've moved on from Madonna. Right? Okay, that was a scene from the phenomenal success Crossroads. And I'm only being slightly sarcastic there because it actually did make $50 million at the box office. That's so this film was made for $10 million, 2002.
Okay, and profited.
It made $60 million at the box office.
That's how many Britney fans were probably out there at the time.
Yes.
It's not a good film, is it, Gina?
This is the film that made me vomit in my mouth just a little bit when I was watching this. Quite seriously.
Which specific part, though?
So many.
Did you vomit? Take us through the vomiting experience. But can you believe this film was written by Grey's Anatomy creator Shonda Rhimes?
Thank you.
And no. Oh,
wait.
Off day for
her. It was based on an original concept from Britney Spears.
Yes.
And
yes. Surprise.
And this, you know, really original, right? So three friends trekking across America in search for womanhood, which in this film is a loose kind of metaphor for virginity or the loss thereof, because the film kind of starts with this kind of really...
Oh, my God. So Britney Spears trying to play like a little virginal kind of character who's really shy about having sex on... Was it prom night? Well, it wasn't prom night.
It was some kind of...
It kind of morphed from prom night, graduation night, Vella Victorian night. Yeah. Who knows what that night
was. But this was actually the Britney character like in pop at the time as well. Like she was like a virgin.
True.
I'm doing like quotations while I say the word virgin. You know, this was when she was
Because we all
just...
know she lost it to JT.
Exactly.
Didn't tell anyone.
And
this was
seductress.
When she was becoming a woman, I guess.
And, you know, the kind of... Yeah, she kind of is this little shy seductress. Like, oh my God, what message was that sending
to little
girls?
But like, she's so baby-faced the whole way through the movie. Like, so baby-faced.
She's got the doe-eyed thing, like, down pat, like, every scene.
Yeah. My favourite scene, which did produce a little bit of vomit, was the Kim Cattrall moment. Now, I'm a big fan of Kim Cattrall.
Yes.
From Mannequin all through to Sex in the City.
Mm-hmm.
But when she goes to see her lost mother, who's abandoned her, and Kim Cattrall just keeps repeating her name, Aunt Lucy.
Right.
Lucy.
See, I actually felt like that was the most real moment in the film.
That's all she said.
Yeah. It was a weird cameo. But, like, I felt like that was where you expected it to zig. It, like, zagged in that Kim Cattrall, her birth mother, wanted nothing to do with her.
But they didn't give the credit to Kim Cattrall to deliver that line. All she got to say was Lucy, Lucy, Lucy. And then they're on the beach and Britney delivers the line going, I just got abandoned by my mother. But everything's okay because we have friendship.
I don't know where to start with this film. Yeah. Like, how does someone look at this on paper and say, yeah, that's a really good idea. Let's make a film. Like, clearly, this was a vehicle for Britney.
Right. Mm.
But, I mean, the film was savaged by critics and justifiably so. I mean, the New York Daily News said, here's what Crossroads does not have. Cohesive direction, intelligent dialogue, a comprehensible plot. The LA Times called it contrived and lazy, and USA Today said it's less of a movie than a mind-numbingly dull road trip. I think they've hit the nail on the head. Like, this is mind-numbingly dull.
I don't know. In Britney's defense, and as a huge Britney fan, I'm a child of Britney. I grew up with Britney. I loved every second of it because she was on screen.
Yeah.
And I think that was the point of the film, is you get to see this side of her that, yes, it's a character, but, you know, you didn't see this when she was performing on stage.
No.
And I thought she was kind of likable.
I actually don't think she's a bad actress. Like, she can act. She can hold a scene. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well,
I thought she was fine.
I feel like this is a perfect, like, time to point out that Britney actually won a Golden Razzie for the worst performance of the year film.
Fair enough.
So let's take our listeners back to the Golden Razzie winning Crossroads from 2002.
Open your heart to Lucy.
Lucy, Wagner.
Baby, we're going to be late. Just iron it for you.
Kent.
Excuse me.
Dad, customer!
And Mimi.
Woo! Let's do this thing! Oh, yeah.
They're the best of friends. Growing up.
Why are you stopping?
Henry, this isn't how I hoped it would be.
It's weird, because this is exactly how I hoped it would be.
And on the road.
Move it, Ben! Let's go already!
Who's the guy?
That's Ben. He's really cool.
Towards everything life has to offer. And anything that can happen along the way.
Bye-bye!
Come on!
We're sorry.
I'm a guy, and that's my car. It's the one thing that hasn't been taken over by checks.
Okay. What we have is now, and right now, we have each other.
Go, girls. Crossroads.
What we have is right now, and right now we have each other. I mean, that's some inspired writing, isn't it, Gina?
It was...
it's beautiful.
And guys, that's the other thing that really annoyed me about this film. I'm biting my tongue. That whole, like, I'm a guy, I'm a dude, I can't sit in a car with three girls.
Yeah. And Britney just going, that's fair enough. I mean, that makes complete sense.
But what's fair enough is that all the girls get in the car to go on this road trip, because it becomes a road trip movie plus a buddy movie, but a road trip movie after they kind of all believe that he's killed someone. Sure, girls, let's all get in the car with this guy who's just come out of prison for killing someone. But he's
cute. I mean, who hasn't, though?
Fair enough, though. I mean, who wouldn't do that? But what's cool is, like, Taryn Manning went on to, like, a successful career in Orange Is the New Black.
Yeah.
Zoe
Saldana.
Great supporting cast.
That's it. I just call it Saldana.
She has to be, like, rich now, Avatar.
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
Center stage was her high point, yes. Obviously.
Obviously. The other really annoying, frustrating thing about this film, and it kind of crops up in all of the films that we're looking at tonight in one way or another, is, like, yeah, it's a wonderful idea to get this, like, one of the most famous, well-known singers in the world and have them play someone who's afraid to sing, and then all of a sudden has this inspiring moment where she belts out a tune at the end of the film. Like, what is with that? Like, we're supposed to believe that they somehow don't know how to sing?
She wrote a poem and, you know, and had the faith.
I love that.
In a cowboy bar to sing.
Here is the guy. Right. Yeah. So the guy that they're in the car with, who has this thing about being in a car with three girls, suddenly pens the music to I'm Not a Girl, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
I can't believe you got that wrong. You had that song in your head.
I have been playing nothing. You know how you get a song stuck in your head and you just on loop.
No, I liked how they had, like, all of these hidden skills that just, like, come out at the best, like, most convenient time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we could actually, do this thing because I'm actually a really good singer. Not that Britney's a good singer. I'm not going to put that out there.
Really? I'm surprised to hear you say that as a pop music aficionado.
Oh, I mean, I love Britney. Like, to my grave, I will stand Britney. But no, she's not a good singer. I don't enjoy her because she has a good voice.
Can I say what my favorite thing is about Britney?
Yeah.
Is the way she can strut, walk down a stage. When she's performing, she does it so well.
She does a mean
that
strut.
Las Vegas show that she. Well, I've got. Okay, I've got the video to that.
Strut.
She does a mean strut. She can strut and sing.
Yeah.
So well
to this day, like her most recent video, it's the best walk I've ever seen.
Oh, yes. I think my favorite is the head whip where she just, like, looks to the side really quickly, then, like, back forward, and the hair just, like, goes with it. Oh, Britney moments.
See, they're her strengths. Yeah. Voice, not so much.
But I don't mind her voice in this movie. I think it's been recorded though. Like, she's singing like over that Madonna song at the beginning.
Sure.
She sings over Bye 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 by NSYNC, but it sounds pre-recorded. It sounds too good to be just off the cuff.
Of course.
Well, speaking of that marvelous voice, this is the track that I have not been able to get out of my head all week. This is Britney Spears with I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman.
I'm not a girl. this girl will always find her way. I'm not a girl, I'm not a girl, don't tell me what to believe. I'm just trying to find the woman in me, yeah. Oh, all I need is time.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
Show a little more. Show a little less. Add a little smoke. Welcome to burlesque. Everything you dream. Never can possess. Nothing's what it seems. Welcome to burlesque. Oh, everyone is buying. Put your money in my hand. If you got a little extra, well, give it to the band.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where tonight we have delved into the world of pop starlet crossovers to film that fail spectacularly and are so camp that they're good. And Gina, we've had a message in.
We have had a message in from Nick in Caulfield, and his favourite crossover is Spice Girls in Spice World. Does it get any better? Nope. Sure, they played themselves, but what a fun film. I'm still a nine-year-old boy who wants to be Scary Spice. Now, I'm with Nick. I wasn't nine. I was probably 29 when that I was 21 when the Spice Girls film came out, because I remember my girlfriend had a Spice Girl party for her 21st.
Who did you go as?
I went as Sporty, as a Butch Dyke. That was the best party ever in my trackies and runners.
It's so comfy.
God,
I always identified with Baby.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I could see you as a baby.
Can you? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I was always Scary. Like, she was my favourite as well.
You still are, baby.
I don't know. I just thought she was cool.
So we're joined by the boys from Pop Chops, Dan and Andy. Thank you again for joining us this
evening. Thanks for having us.
We are listening, of course, to Burlesque from Burlesque, or Welcome to Burlesque, sung by none other than Cher. And what a great track.
Yeah, this is nice. Yeah, I mean, I never tire of Cher's voice.
It's got a great soundtrack. Just even the musical numbers in the movie make it worth watching, even though something has to make it worthwhile, right? Exactly.
Look, it's a bit of a tough film to get through, but there are some star kind of power moments, and I think that's why the film, it actually did pretty well. I think it made something like $90 million at the global box office, which is a lot of money, I think.
Wasn't there an Oscar? Or a Golden Globe?
I think there was, yeah, right. So there was a Golden Globe. There was a Golden Globe for Best Song for You Haven't Seen the Last of Me,
okay.
Which is You Haven't Seen the Last of Me Yet. So that's the song that Cher sings right before she's got, I wrote it down, she's called by Nikki, played by Kristen Bell, a slut with mutant lungs. right? So right before she gets called that, she sings this wonderful song that Diane Warren wrote, who of course we know from like There You'll Be, Till It Happens to You, Because You Love Me, all of these great Oscar-winning songs. So this was written as an Oscar contender. Didn't win, but You know, I think it's a solid film. We're looking at it now because, you know, Cher, how can we not? If we're talking about pop diva crossovers to film, Cher's got to take, like, the cake for someone who's kind of been up there, but also, like, she's got an Oscar, but she's failed spectacularly too.
Well, her first film was the biggest spectacular. Well,
oh, my God, Chastity.
Failure.
Right, let's talk about Chastity. So you sat through this, yeah,
I basically sat through it. Like, yeah. It was on in the background, and, whoa, like, Cher got deep with this movie. I mean, well, she tried to.
Yeah, she tried to. That's the key.
And it was written and produced by Sonny, who was her husband at the time. I don't know what either of them were thinking, like, to be honest.
So it's pretty hardcore, isn't it?
It's really hardcore.
No, he's got a quote as to why he wrote this film.
Because he hated Cher?
Well, he hated somebody. So the increase in... I can't even pronounce it. In frigidity and the increase in lesbianism and the lack of manhood was why.
Lesbianism. Yeah.
I read that quote and I was like, you know, I'm not going anywhere near that, so I'm glad that you did.
Does she play a lesbian?
She has an affair with... A lesbian.
Yeah, okay.
And then she has an affair with somebody. She runs off. She has an affair with someone else until she kind of hears these voices about how she was...
molested as a child.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this is heavy duty for, like, the breakout role for Cher. And I'm sure Sonny and Cher thought this film was going to be great.
It's not.
It's not.
Surprise.
Well, they invested, I think, $500,000 into the film.
Whoa.
Right? And ended up $240,000 in debt.
Right, okay.
So. I love that they pawned their furniture. Bel Air mansion to make this film, which I think right? is
wow, that's commitment to the art.
Totally.
Yeah. I actually think Cher is an amazing actress. I don't think this is her best performance that I've seen her in, but she is kind of fearless and she's in the moment, I think you can tell.
Because Mermaids would be the best performance of Cher's,
Moonstruck.
Right?
Definitely Moonstruck.
Mask. Okay. Mask is my favorite.
They all start with M.
We're on a Harley Davidson. Mask
was Mermaids? Like, oh, you said Mermaids. Moonstruck. That's the one I'm talking
about. Moonstruck, yeah. Mask was like one of the only VCRs my high school had, so I watched it about 45 times. So I do not like that movie.
That was Schindler's List for me.
Okay, bring the tone down.
Sorry.
To bring the tone up, let's revisit Chastity.
What's wrong with Chastity? My name is Chastity. I picked it out myself. But not for any reason you'd think. Names don't matter much anyhow. Even with any other name, I'd still be a bummer, a loser, and a cop-out hitchhiking down some stupid road to nowhere. I got no papa, no mama, no money, no future. The past I'd rather forget. So, I just stand here wearing a tired smile and a tight sweater, waiting for some guy to give me a lift. Men? Sure, I use them. Like a gambler uses money. Want to give me a ride? I'm going wherever you're going.
Pick her up if you dare. See Cher as Chastity, a different kind of girl. Chastity, a different kind of motion picture. Chastity in color from American International is rated R. Chastity, she's not just a girl. She's an experience.
So this actually is quite an experience, isn't it? This film. And really,
that trailer was just an experience.
I know.
Did they say she's not a girl, she's an experience?
They did.
Wow.
And an experience in colour.
Yeah.
Jump on. Experience her.
How interesting, though, that she calls her daughter Chastity.
Right. I know. I thought that was mind-boggling. Was but apparently, Chastity... was conceived, or Chaz now was conceived during the making of this film.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
I just love that she's on the record saying that. She must have said it at some point. How else would you know?
Right, but I love that both A Certain Sacrifice and Chastity, huge bombs, like these films bombed, right? Because, like, these pop divas or pop diva would-bes kind of take on such dramatic, intense roles. Mm. Like, of course they're going to flop.
Wait, are you suggesting Crossroads? Hang on.
No.
Such a dramatic role.
Well, there is a
certain sacrifice.
Trigger warning, there is a rape in Crossroads. Ooh. So...
Yeah. Oh, there's actually a lot of, you know, unsavory themes in Crossroads.
Mm. It covers everything. Every teenage kind of warning. And I think that's what they did. They got one of those videos that you play at school and you play 10 minutes in your bed.
And we need to cover education.
Storyline.
I thought the rape was really underplayed in Crossroads to the point where it's like, oh, it's a bit problematic, I think.
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, there's no police calls. It's,
and
yeah.
Then, oh my God, I fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
And that resolved that kind of story.
It's like, yeah, cool, you punched him. That's over.
It has, it's generally, like, gender relations in general in this film are particularly problematic.
Mm. I love that we've just gone back to Cross, right?
Sorry, Cher.
Well, sorry, Christina, right? Because this is her breakout role. And I love the kind of tag of the film, it takes a legend to make a star. I don't know that this was a star turn for Christina.
She doesn't really have any personality in the movie. That's what I found. Like, all I can see when I look at her is just like bitchy diva. But they didn't bring that out enough. Like, they needed just her to be quippy and mean.
And is it just me, or does Christina really kind of overwork all of her songs in this film?
On every album, yes. I'm a massive Christina fan, but she oversings everything.
Yeah, like these songs are just, it gets to a point where they're hard to listen to.
Yeah. Mm.
And this film is kind of, it tries to take us into this neo-burlesque kind of Bob Fosse cabaret-esque world. And, you know, I love that Alan Cumming's in there. Like, I'd go into any cabaret that Alan Cumming's is in. But in fact, I actually saw him in Cabaret, but that's another point.
Oh.
But like this film, it never takes off, and it's dark. This is what I was getting at before, right? So when you've got a pop diva and you want to kind of introduce them into the world of film, surely your first thought is to like pick up this kind of bright and like really kind of happy and joyful kind of film. And all of these films are really dark, except, well, Crossroads too. I mean, they're all dark, they're sinister, they're intense, and I just, like, no wonder they flop.
Well, is it that those types of dramas are kind of more respected by the Oscar-giving industry, and that, I mean, I guess they're so desperate to show their acting chops, they want to be taken seriously. And so, if they were to go and do a comedy, it's less likely to be taken seriously, I guess. So they all just try to jump in the deep end.
Well, I think they just need to get, like, hire proper screenwriters when it comes to telling these stories.
I think these films end up being more respected by the Golden Razzies, which is, of course, the awards for the worst films, rather than the Oscars.
But Burlesque did do well with Golden Globes and awards for all its music. So we got to give this one a little bit of credit.
And actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this was the last film that we saw Cher in.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure. So there was nothing
could
between
be,
Stuck on You, which I think was about 2003, and this film. And then I don't think was...
Tea with Mussolini was before this, right?
I love... Can we just take a moment to honour Tea with Mussolini?
Same. Like, and I think Cher's an amazing actress. Even in this, she is definitely by far the best... I like Kirsten Bell as well, but the best of the leads, I think, in this movie. But Christina lets the team down. The only scene I watch like repeatedly is like when he comes out like completely naked with that like bottle, that box.
It's a good scene.
Cookies?
I endorse
I recommend that scene.
Alan Cumming?
No, he's called Cam Gidget. Cam Gidget.
The guy from Twilight. Except he's shaved, like he has a big kind of dreadlocks thing going on in Twilight.
Okay. That was a very high school movie for me, so I was like, I was into that scene.
Well, from burlesque, as we continue our way through some of the campiest crossovers into film by pop divas, this is Show Me How You Burlesque.
Underneath the city lights, there is a wolf you know about. Rules don't apply, no. And you can't keep a good girl down. She comes to the club looking for a good time. Gonna make that shake, that money on a dime. Don't be a sugar daddy, she can work it just fine. Up on the table, she'll be dancing all night. Baby, no, just come to life.
dancing.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where tonight we're joined by the boys from Pop Chops.
Thanks Hello. For having us.
And we are making our way through some of the campiest pop diva crossovers into film. And it's been an illuminating evening.
Trashy rather than campy, I would say some of these films are.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Exactly, thank God our you aesthetic. Boys are here to take some of the,
exactly.
Take some for the team. Yeah. Thank you, lads.
So we're moving on and we're coming, Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, to one of your all-time favourite films.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's definitely like comfort food to me, this movie. Like I've seen it so many times when I've been just hungover, chilling. No, I do love this movie. I've seen it at least 35 times.
35?
So the film, not 36?
Oh, okay. Gotta get my facts straight.
Film, the film is Glitter. It's the 2001 Failure from Mariah Carey. It's set in 1982. And Andy, what would you say this film is about?
Well, it's sort of like a mirror of Mariah's own rise to fame, I guess. She's like discovered as like a backup singer, then she becomes this massive pop star. It's a love story and it has a twist at the end, which will just leave you in tears.
But you know, this is what I was saying before. Like, who thinks it's like, who sits down willing to pour millions of dollars into a film and says, yeah, let's make a film starring, you know, a world class singer about a singer's rise to, like, it doesn't work.
It was a bit too meta.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a much more succinct way of saying what I was going for.
Important to note, though, with Glitter is that it actually came out the week of September 11.
I know, right?
Did it really?
Yeah. Okay.
So people were like, in the mood.
Who's going to see a film that week?
A lot of people wanted to go to the cinemas for kind of mind-numbing entertainment at that time. And this is certainly mind-numbing.
to be honest, I think it would have flopped like no matter when it came out. Like, yeah. I'm not saying it's a great film, but it is good, trashy popcorn entertainment.
Again, it's a vehicle for Mariah, and like Mariah fans love it, and you know there are enough Mariah fans, just like there were enough Britney fans, to actually get an audience for this film.
Well, kind of. I mean, the film made $5 million around the world. Like right. That's not really what I would call a solid.
See,
audience
I would still attribute that to the fact that it was September 11.
Yeah, right,
week.
Right. Yeah. And look, when I read that, I was like, yeah, sure, okay, so that explains some of the some of the way that the film was received, but. Like,
but I'm looking at the producer of this film, because we kind of say, okay, who kind of decides to make this? Well, somebody also decides to back this, because, and they back it because they think it's going to make a ton of money. So Lawrence Mark is the producer for this, and he made things like Jerry Maguire.
Wow.
Center Stage. Okay. So he's actually has got a fascinating, as good as it gets. So all the films that I'm looking at here, even from Working Girl, he knows Sister Act 2. He knows how to make money. This guy knows how to put popcorn together. So clearly.
See, the thing is, everyone was investing in Mariah at that stage because, she had just left her record label and signed with Virgin, I think it was. And it was like millions of dollars worth of money into this record deal. And Glitter was the first album. Oh. And it just tanked, and it was in the middle of her, like, mental health issues she was having at the time.
Right, were the mental health issues before?
I think it was just after.
Just after this. She filmed, but as she was promoting it.
Yeah. So this is what we call like kind of...
good publicity is bad publicity? Or no.
Or no, just kind of like going through what your audiences go through when they watch the film.
Oh, ouch.
No, look, okay. So I actually didn't mind this film. I'm going to put that on the record. I didn't mind it. I certainly preferred it to Crossroads. But it's a pretty poor film, and that was also acknowledged by the Razzies. This was nominated for 6 Golden Razzies, including, and this is my favourite, Worst On-Screen Couple for Mariah Carey's cleavage. and she actually won the award.
Who's coming for her boobies?
And she also won the award for the worst actress.
Yeah, worst actress. Yeah.
I think to me, this is the only movie that we're talking about today that's like so bad that it circles around to good. Mm. Like Crossroads is bad, but it's not quite bad enough to be funny and hilarious to watch with your friends. Yeah. I think this movie, Mariah Carey's acting especially, is just like transfixing in how bad it is.
She kind of, she redeemed herself with Precious though.
Yeah,
she did.
Totally.
I could not agree more. But she herself has said like this film, you know, they kind of, it couldn't be talked about with their friends. I think they called it the G word.
Yes.
Like you couldn't say the G word around Mariah.
Well, it's not even on Spotify, the soundtrack. So she really wanted to get rid of this whole era.
Yeah.
Look, I don't blame her.
You struggled even finding a song.
I did, which is why I kind of played it very surreptitiously under our talking. So that was Loverboy.
To me, I so disagree. Like, I think the soundtrack's so underrated. It wasn't her worst album. I mean, Charm Bracelet came out after this, which was like a dud, like a thud. This one's fun to me.
Followed by Emancipation of Mimi, which is probably her biggest album. Mm-hmm. So she definitely had a rise back to the top after Glitter.
Gina's gone to a happy place at the theology work, going, no. Me and Mariah, knew. No.
Right, so this is Glitter.
20th Century Fox and Columbia Pictures present.
If I move closer,
music brought them together.
Let it take over.
Fame could tear them apart.
I'm not going to let you ruin everything that I'm working for.
It is all about you, right? The superstar always comes first.
But love will never let it end.
None of this would happen if you didn't believe in me.
Mariah Carey. Glitter.
Move around, come on. What you want now? What you want now?
Well, that is Glitter. So, boys, out of 5, how many stars?
7.
7 stars.
Definitely a solid, I'd say like 5, a 10.
Out of 5 stars. Well, that's a pretty good. I mean, this film, it was kind of slayed by the critics. So Roger Ebert said, above all, the film is lacking joy. It never seems like fun to be Billy Frank. And the movie Mag Fade In said, trotting out every hoary cliche about the music business imaginable, Glitter isn't just one of the worst film or music-themed films ever made. It's one of the worst films made ever, period. Okay.
Wow. There was a line where Dice was talking about her photo shoot, and he was like, it's nice if you like Titsy the porn star. So more amazing dialogue.
On that note.
We promised you trash, and no, camp, you got it.
Well, so okay, to go back to our question from the beginning of the program, is this a bad film, or is it so good that, or is it so bad that it's good?
To me, this is definitely so bad it's good.
Same. Mm. Yeah. Mm. See, we're not going to really disparage pop stars, by the way. We're here to support pop stars, so we never really have a bad word to say about them.
From what you've seen from the track record, would you be encouraging pop stars to take this transition onto the big screen or just stick to...
I mean, some have become like more successful in acting than in singing, like Billie Piper. Mandy Moore.
Right.
Well, would we call either of them successful?
Maybe not successful, but I think Billie Piper is legit a good actress. Okay. I don't know. Sorry.
I would love, I would support, just for the camp factor, just for the fun factor. Like if Ariana Grande turned around and did a film based on some, you know, with some awful storyline, I would be front row center seeing that film.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of these films are for the fans.
They're for fans. Yeah, they're a vehicle for the artist and for the fans to get to experience a different side of the pop star.
On that note, you are listening to Outtakes here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Can't win your
Hold on to your knickers, girls. That was Spice World.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, and that was Stop from Spice World.
Love this film.
I know you do, Gina. I know you do.
I'm right there with you, Gina.
Me too. Such an epic movie.
I actually watched this 2 weeks ago before I even, it must have been 3 weeks ago, before I even knew that I would be coming on here. It still holds up to this day so well. The humor.
This film has dated.
No. It was the first thing I thought. I was like, the humor is still so on point. Victoria bloody Beckham, she is a superstar.
Yeah.
Just, she nails it. Every line she delivers works.
I won tickets to the premiere of this when I was a child, and it was like, it was shown at a swimming pool, so we were actually in the pool watching the movie. Bizarre. They were giving away like Impulse Spice, you know, the Impulse deodorant they had at the time.
Yes, I remember
I was in heaven. It was like the high point of my entire childhood.
Right. Can you believe this film is actually 20 years old this
year?
Well,
I was 20 years old when I went to see this film, and like I said earlier, I was not a fan of the Spice Girls until I went and saw this film.
Wow.
And I went and saw this film and thought, my goodness, if these girls can take the piss out of themselves well.
That's the thing.
And that's what they did. They weren't serious about this film. It was a great crossover because they were silly. They were playing themselves, making fun of each other and making fun of the genre.
Yeah.
That's what made it a great film. And the music's brilliant.
So good. And the outfits, the hair, every scene they're in a different outrageous outfit. It was just, so camp.
Oh, just the moment at the very beginning with Too Much, and it just sort of like fades into the Spice Girls. It's all like very lush. It's just like the anticipation inside me as a child. I will never ever forget that moment.
No.
I still remember seeing it at the cinema and people in the cinema dancing in the aisles when it was absolutely amazing. But my favourite scene is when it's Future Spice Girls and they're all fat and yelling at the kids and on the treadmills, and God bless them, good on you girls.
And I'm
that.
Victoria Malcolm.
See, for me, this film is all about Alan Cumming, who makes another appearance, right?
Who's coming?
Yeah, someone had to go there, didn't they?
I just walk into the easiest joke in the room.
So, look, we've pretty much run out of time. Dan and Andy from Pop Chops, thank you again so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
As a final word, the worst pop diva to film crossover film, so bad that it's good, Andy?
Out of these choices?
Out of any film.
Wait, are we saying is it our favourite worst one or is it our worst
one that it's so good?
Okay, good.
So bad that it's good.
Yeah. Oh, definitely Glitter. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, rent it. Whatever people do these days, just watch it.
Mine's Spice World. Absolutely.
Yep.
And Gina, for you?
Spice World. Absolutely gold. But I've got it on VHS. I need to borrow somebody's VHS.
Well, look, that's it for another week on Outtake.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.